Kingston Town can't win.
Bone Crusher and our Waverley Star, stride for stride.
Cometh the hour, cometh the legend, Winks has done it.
Joined here by Noel Harris, a New Zealand Hall of Fame jockey, a winner of 45 Group 1 races, including the 1988 Cox Plate. Noel, thanks for having us.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure, thank you.
Firstly, do you want to just give us a brief rundown of how you got into racing and your pathway into becoming a jockey?
Yeah, well, firstly, I'm one of sort of five jockeys in our family, like kids-wise, but my dad was a jockey. He had a brother that was a jockey who got killed in a race when he was only about 19. So I'm the third boy, and then there was four boys, two girls. We all rode, so it was sort of in the blood, if you could say that. And you know, three of us were apprenticed to me dad, and one of my brothers, the eldest one, he started with me dad, and he sort of shifted away and got apprenticed to another trainer, Wally McEwen. And so yeah, we all we're all jockeys, and had no choice really.
That's awesome. Must have gotten very competitive.
Yeah, it was, yeah, because Johnny, he was a leading apprentice, and my brother Desi, he was leading apprentice for a couple of years, and then I came along and I won a couple of apprenticeships as an apprentice and won a major, the National Jockeys Championship. So, and I probably lasted the longest. Yeah, the others grew up sooner than mainly weight-wise.
Obviously, you're a Kiwi, but you've had a massive amount of success in Australia. When did you first head over to Australia to ride?
It was actually in 70. I'd won the premiership here as an apprentice, 1973, and my dad had Glen Gowan. He was going for the Melbourne Cup, and I was actually lucky enough that he stuck with me to ride the horse in the Cup, and I went over there probably a month early with Gary Lee. He was out in Mornington, had a horse called Audacita, won the Fen on him, horse called Red Boy, won the Pakenham Cup, and so I had about a month there to get prepared for the Melbourne Cup. And lo and behold, Frankie Ray's Gala Supreme beat me a nose, and I was always remembered for the boy who got boy on a man's errand.
And we touched on earlier, you've raced in Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, including premierships in New Zealand and Singapore. What are some of the differences between riding in Asia compared to riding here, both positive and negative?
Yeah, well, Aussie, I think Sumika is beautiful racing there, and competition-wise, and just fantastic jockeys. Singapore was, how would you put it, Singapore, Malaysia, they sort of... had three tracks up in Malaysia and one in Singapore that was a circuit you used to do, and used to get a lot of the English, Irish and jockeys riding there in their off season. So the competition was really hot, and they always had six expats always riding there at one time, so there was no corruption or cut down on the corruption, you would say. But I had 3 years up there, and I won a premiership up there, and it was good money, and I thought it's time to come home and check out Australia, and I can always go back there at any time, back to Malaysia, Singapore. So
that's awesome.
And obviously racing runs in your family, and your son Troy has kind of followed in your footsteps and is riding, and he's actually riding for Tiakau, with the highlight of his career probably being the Group 1 Bone Crusher Stakes on Melody Bell. What's it been like kind of with him coming through the ranks in racing and kind of teaching him how to be a jockey?
Yeah, it was good. Like, I didn't push him at all. He done motocross for the first year, and then he decided, Dad, I want to be a jockey. So I got him in with Mark Walker and Tiakau. So that was good, and he started riding. He won a premiership, apprentice premiership, and when I was riding still at the time, and first six races and tight finishes, I beat him, 6-0 it was. And I used to remind him, 6-0, Troy, and then he come out and beat me in a Group 1, the 2000 Guineas at Christchurch. So it was a good one to beat me on, his first one, and just felt sorry for Troy in the sense that his weight got away on him. So of late he gets on a vegan diet and he gets his weight down, runs 10Ks, and yeah, he's very sports, Troy, you know, any sport he can play, and it's just the fact of the weight that's probably holding him back, and you know, he's got to have a, after 2 or 3 months, he's got to have a break from it, mentally wise.
Did you ever have those problems, those weight problems in the saddle?
Yeah, all my life. I started off as only 35Ks, and by the time I was 18, I was 54Ks. I put a stone a year on. And then from then on, it was always, yeah, I was not one for dieting, you know, but I could take weight off in the sauna and, you know, spa baths and stuff like this. So I didn't have issues taking the weight off, but it was just a mental strain. And probably the last 5 years of my career, it sort of come right. But, yeah, there was a lot of hungry and thirsty moments.
Can I imagine?
So you go, Benny.
So, yeah, moving into more of the race, the Cox Plate, it's had such a – New Zealand and Australia has such a strong affiliation, especially in the 80s, 90s and early 2000s. How can you best summarise that?
It's something the Kiwis thrive to, that you're a big Melbourne Cup, and like a jockey, it's everybody's dream to win a Melbourne Cup. But I always thought that over the years I had 12 in the Melbourne Cup, I had a second, a third – couple of fourths, and I thought if you can't win a Melbourne Cup, Cox Plate's the next best. So, but then I'm thinking that it's such a tactical race, the Cox Plate. It's just, you know, here's stand up on your back, and I've never been in a race apart from the Cox Plate that you could be at the 800 or 400 that you got champion horses that are all off the bit, and Kingston Town was just amazing. He was under pressure, long way from home, then goes back to the Bone Crusher and Waverley Star race, doesn't it, you know? And not many races you'll get horses under pressure that far from home, except for the Cox Plate.
So in 1987, Poetic Prince was second, and then it was ridden by Gary Phillips that year. And just how keen was John Wheeler to win that race that following year?
I think that was the bait, you know, because he'd won the Caulfield Guineas actually before then, and I rode him then, and he lost it on protest. So John, so we took it on the chin, and I thought, as the old saying, you win some, lose some, but that was a hard loss, that one, and it's like coming back to Australia with unfinished business, and wheels being wheels, he wouldn't let it lie, you know.
And do you want to just elaborate a little bit more on your relationship with him? How did you first get riding for him?
I all started here in New Zealand. John would just ride the odd one or two. And Gary Phillips and David Walsh had a couple of first rides on Poet Prince, our Poet Prince. We always come up and say, this horse is not learning anything. It's going to the front. It's not running straight or true. So, Harry, we put you on, eh? Hence the rest is history, and I just clicked with the horse, and as I said, of all the horses I've ridden over the last 45 years, a champion, I'd have to categorise him in a champion. There's probably a couple others that I could say. A horse that can win on slow tracks, heavy tracks, any distance, ride him anywhere in a race, and Poet Prince was just one of those horses, real gentleman, you know.
So that morning before the race was a bit of drama with Vaux Rogue being scratched. Can you run us through a bit of that story on why they were scratched?
Well, I run a principal here, and there was like an assistant mentor was trying to tell the kids that when you go out into the track, you take an umbrella and poke it into the ground to see how. Yeah, and I said, is that correct? I said, the last time, or not actually the last time, but it was always brought to my attention, the owners of Vaux Rogue morning of the races, they were out there with the umbrella poking it into the track, shook the head and said, no, the track's too. And he was the hot favourite, Bowray. He was going to be hard to beat, but he done me a favour. So every time you see see anyone poking umbrellas into the track, I have a little laugh to myself.
And, of course, with Vorogue coming out, our Poetic Prince came into favourite and he was quite strongly backed.
Yep.
How did you feel with, like, the weight of expectation? A lot of people kind of expected him to be the one to beat once Vorogue was out, especially.
Yeah, exactly. It was sort of, for a start, to see Vorogue, he'd come out of the race and I thought, wow. But I thought, a race like this is just not a one horse, you know, so... It was just to the fact that having a, you know, like, it's a great just to have a ride in the race, but then being favourite, you know, the pressure builds on you. But once those gates open, it's tension goes.
That's a nice segue. So the actual race itself, can you talk us through kind of how it unfolded? I think it was almost the perfect ride and went textbook for you. Can you just take us through that race and that ride?
Well, so at the start before Wayne Trelawne, he had me on at Caulfield and I got beat, run second, and I led on Poetic Prince. John Wheels wanted me to ride it. I think it's the Caulfield Stakes, or correct me if I'm wrong, but anyway, Wayne Trelawne had me on and I got beat. So come the Cox Plate, the next minute I'm behind and I thought, you owe me. And as you said, I got such a perfect run, opened up before the turn, and I said, I'm off now, I'm not waiting around. And having ridden previously into Cox Plates, you know, the pressure goes on from, you know, and to get a run like I did, don't come very often.
And to some of the horses he beat that day, it was Horlick second and Bone Crusher third. Bone Crusher was obviously a champion. He won the race of the century, and Horlick's went on to win the Japan Cup the next year. How good was it to get the wood over those fellow Kiwis?
Oh, it was fantastic. I rode Horlick's twice and won on her twice, and she was phenomenal, yeah, and to see Bone Crusher. And I think with Bone Crusher around, I don't think Poetic Prince got the accolades he deserved. Because he went on and won the Tancred after he'd won the Cox Plate. But, it was just nice to say, oh, this horse beat Bone Crusher and Horlicks, you know. As I said, they don't come along every year, a lot of champions, do they, you know.
Do you remember that moment when you came around the turn and the crowd was... roaring, like, we hear from a lot of people that, and jockeys, that when they come around that corner on Cox Plate Day and you've got, you know, that 30 to 40,000 people just screaming and cheering and feeling like they're almost on the track. Do you remember what that was like, and do you still kind of, you can still recall that?
Yeah, I can still see it now. And the thing about Poetic Prince, he was pricked his ears as if he'd get to the front, as if he was going to pull up. It was such an awful feeling, and you'd hit him with the stick. And you'd expect him, he wouldn't give you. But if a horse come beside him, he'd lift. But you hit him with a stick, he wouldn't give any more. And when I hit the turn, hit the front, and with the crowd then, I thought, oh, no, he's going to pull up on me. But he didn't. But he had such a, as I said, when he won the Caulfield Guineas the year before, he ran a track record, but he lost on Prodest. And the steward said if you'd ridden to the line, you'd never have lost it, but you'd run a track record, so how fast do you got to go?
Obviously, we did speak to you 2 years ago, and we're probably asking some questions that you've already answered many times before, but is there any stories from that period or from the 1988 Cox Plate that haven't been told yet?
Not really. Maybe the celebrations.
Can you elaborate on them, or is that?
Yeah, good. Wheels was good to be a party man, and yeah. Probably, how would I put it? No, in racing, you got a lot of stories to tell, you know. But yeah, it took me probably 2 weeks to reflect And I start to pinch myself to say that I won a Cox Plate. And even to this day, I look at other jockeys that have had successes. When I reflect back in the success I've had, you know, and just the Cox Plate, as I said, I couldn't win a Melbourne Cup, but the Cox Plate, it's just like, wow, you know.
Yeah. Just probably one question that we probably haven't asked many people is what that moment after the race where you've, you know, you jump off the horse and the celebrations and the, what is it like, that immediate moment? And then when you go back into the jockey rooms, like, is there camaraderie there from the other jockeys? Do they get around you and support you? What is it like kind of, you know, jumping off that horse and knowing that you're a Cox Plate winner?
Yeah, as I said, it just takes a long time to sink in. Like at the time you think, well, I've done it. And then, but it doesn't sort of really settle in until, yeah, I think, probably jockeys like, they win so many, like the good jockeys win big races, and by the time you want to celebrate, it's time to move on to the next race, you know. You just haven't got time really to, it's, as you say, it's so competitive, and you can't sit back on your laurels, you know. So
So obviously that Cox Plate victory is high up on your achievement list, but you also inducted into the New Zealand Racing Hall of Fame in 2018. Can you just give us some memories from that night and where that sits with you also?
Oh, but as I said, I was very humbled, you know, to be with such honourable people in New Zealand racing. And my dad said, you only get what you put out into racing, you know, and at that time when I was an apprentice, and sounds like too much hard work, but all of a sudden I was at that evening getting honoured, and same thing again. It's just took a week or two to sink in that, yeah, that you got honoured for the work you put in, the hard work. And I try to make it fun at the same time, and guys like Greg Hall and, you know, Ben Mates and Brent Thompson and all those top Aussie jocks that I rode with, and yeah, it's just marvellous to reflect back on what a wonderful career it has been riding.
And obviously the Cox Plate is a special race. What do you think makes it so special, and where do you rank it amongst kind of the world's best races?
Well, it's getting the stakes getting bigger and bigger, and even in, when was it, 73, I had my first ride in, I think. I ran fourth on Glengown in the Cox Plate. Even then, it was just a race to be, you know, people in New Zealand, especially New Zealand, talked about. And I think it's grown, and it's, even though the Melbourne Cup's Melbourne Cup, with the Cox Plate, as I said, with the stake money now that's available, and the top horses that are coming over to race in it, it's fantastic. It's just, yeah, it's just a race that, as you said, like the nation, it stops the nation, Australia and New Zealand, come Melbourne Cup. But the Cox Plate's just got that nice place into it before the lead up to the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah. Obviously, you've had a great career in the saddle. Do you want to just touch on when you retired and what your role in the industry is now?
Yeah, I was lucky that I was... I said to my wife, Carly, I'm 45 years, I thought I can just walk away from it now, you know. Just no pressure, no. She said, I'll be good if you can put something back in, you know. Oh, my. But I'm pleased we sat down and thought, right, apprentice mentor, going to NZTR to, I said, I'll do it as long as I can, my input, if they can run with me, I'd be, you know, more than happy to take the role on or create a role. So I, besides with my wife and myself, we went to NZTR and put a business plan, how it should be run, and they actually run with it. I'm thinking, nah, they probably won't, but they did. And I'm pleased, you know, because it's clicked and really good, and having to go and support these apprentices on race day and trials, plus the apprentice school package deal. And I think, boy, being the being there for them on race day is such a great help, great asset, and I can see the improvement a lot. And a lot of these young kids starting off, you know.
And you've actually, in 2012, you brought out a biography, Harry, the Ride of My Life. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how that kind of all came together?
I was approached at a book and I said, no, I still haven't finished writing yet. And I remember Jimmy Cassidy as well, when he got off to about writing the book, he says, oh, I've got to wait for a few people to die before I can put it into words. Just joking. But then I thought, oh, yeah, no. And I had a great mate of mine, Wally O'Hearn, that wrote the book for me, that had known me ever since, you know, I was an apprentice, and I thought if he can write this book for me, well, without rushing into it, and he was a great help, and yeah, sort of like a happy medium story, without getting carried away, and it's probably, I can probably write another book, but I would not go there after the first one, but it was good to be able to tell the story, you know, especially when it goes back to how we started with the family and with me Singapore and Australia, and it was quite a bit of information to put out there.
I think we might have to purchase the book soon.
Absolutely.
I read of it. I think that's all our questions, Noel.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for having us here today. Congratulations on a great career, and good luck with all the apprentices.
No, pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Noel. Cheers. Cheers.
Thank you.
El Murder Jazz comes up. Starter Mr. King running to the platform. And Impasera, the Caulfield Cup winner, moves to the outside stall. And so the field has assembled for the Wait for Age Championship. Planet Ruler unsteady, and attendant with him. The lights on, they're racing, and the starter sent them away well. Planet Ruler prominent early with Our Poetic Prince Flotilla. Bone Crushers drop behind them. Impasera going up. Glenview handy. High Regard, then El Murder Jazz Vitalik. Bone Crusher on the inside of him from Horlicks, and Run Straight Run. Bone Crusher reefing and pulling, and Horlicks got a bad check, and so did Run Straight Run at the rear. So they head to the turnout of the straight, and Planet Ruler is the pilot by a length over Impasera on the outside of Flotilla. They're being followed by Our Poetic Prince. Glenview the outside. Vitalik on the rails. High Regard. Bone Crusher on the fence, followed by El Murder Jazz, and Run Straight Run on the outside of him. And Horlicks is last of all. Down towards the 1,200 metres. They're not going hard, and eight lengths covers first and last. The Queenslander Planet Ruler leads by a length over Impasera on the outside of Flotilla. Our Poetic Prince and Glenview are together next. Two lengths High Regard on the outside of Vitalik, a couple of lengths to El Murder Jazz. Bone Crushers 12 lengths from the lead, and then Run Straight Run and Horlicks 1,000 to go, and it's Planet Ruler by a half length over Impasera, half length Glenview the outside, Flotilla on the rails, Our Poetic Prince on the outside of him with High Regard travelling three wide. The tempo has quickened appreciably. Two lengths El Murder Jazz, and then Vitalik, followed by Bone Crusher, Horlicks, and Run Straight Run. 700 from the judge. Planet Ruler being joined in front by Impasera from Glenview. High Regard the outside. Our Poetic Prince moving up and looking for the way through now. Flotilla urged along on the rails, and then El Murder Jazz, Bone Crusher under the whip, five lengths from the lead. Vitalik, Horlicks, and Run Straight Run coming to the turn into the straight. Our Poetic Prince into the clear. The favourites bounded up on the outside. Our Poetic Prince hits the front, and around the bend they come, and Our Poetic Prince sets sail for the run in nicely clear. Impasera battling away. Bone Crusher finishing stoutly with Horlicks. Our Poetic Prince nicely clear now home. Bone Crusher and Horlicks trying to pick him up, but Our Poetic Prince packs too many guns, and it's an all New Zealand finish. Our Poetic Prince has scored by a length and three quarters from Horlicks. Bone Crusher third, followed then by Run Straight Run, El Murder Jazz Flotilla, Glenview Planet Ruler Vitalik, High Regard, and Impasera.